chapter number one tonight. Colossians chapter number one. Oh, praise the Lord. Colossians chapter number one. Man, so many things. Oh, my. So many things we'll get to see in heaven. And people, maybe we just brushed paths with them. Just a little passing by, a little influence, a gospel witness, and never see them again. I think about that one of the bus captains that was in the work with me as back years ago, and had a big day and ran the bus and went to a new area and picked up some teenagers that had never come before. And on the way home, as we had plenty of time, the routes were 45 minutes plus away, and he preached the gospel, gave a gospel invitation. And as soon as he finished the invitation, he gave a sinner's prayer for those who wanted to receive Christ. And as soon as he did that, the back door of the bus, it came to a stop sign, the back door of the bus opened, and two teenage boys jumped out. And Brother Moses was the bus captain's name. And so he went on dropping off, and that was the only time that boy ever rode the bus. Years later, in another church in another state, a young man was there. His family was in church, and they were serving the Lord. And Brother Jonas became a missionary to the Indians. And anyway, he crossed paths with this young man. He said, By chance, did you run a bus? And he said, well, yeah. He said, I lived in Blue Island, Illinois. He said, yeah, we had a big day. And he said, I rode your bus in Blue Island, Illinois one time on that big day. And you gave the gospel on the way home. And you gave a sinner's prayer. And I received Christ as my Savior. And he said, as soon as we did that, my buddy opened the back door of the bus and he grabbed me. He said, come on, let's go. And he pulled me and I jumped off the bus and he said, that was my only contact with you. But I'm saved. I'm here in this church. We serve the Lord. My family knows the Lord. And I want to thank you. Now, can I tell you something? I don't know where everybody is, but I know God knows where everybody is. Amen. And I know that it's worthwhile to invest in people. Well, Colossians chapter number one. Colossians chapter number one. And I want to just stand with me, if you would, please. Stand with me. And we're going to begin in verse number 9. And read just a handful of verses, 9, 10, and 11 tonight. 9, 10, and 11. And read aloud with me Colossians 1, verses 9, 10, and 11. Ready. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Paul says in verse number 9, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Can I speak to you very personally tonight on this subject? What I want for you. Father, I love you. Thank you for these such dear people, dedicated people that love you, love the work of God, love their church, love their pastor and his family. Lord, we as a family feel so loved here. And love the souls of men and seek to win souls. Lord, it's just a wonderful, it's a humbling thing, it's a precious thing. And I thank you. Thank you so much that we get to be a part, Lord. It's not my church, our church. It's yours, Lord. We recognize that. We all belong to you. We just thank you that you let us be a part. Help me now tonight in just a few moments, Lord, just a few minutes to share my heart for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. We begin in verse number 1 of the chapter. And Paul writes, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God we give thanks to God. First thing that Paul says in this passage as he begins this letter, he says, you know what? I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Let me shorten it. We give thanks for you. We give thanks for you. You know, I'm so thankful for you, church family. I'd like for all the bus workers to stand to your feet, if you would, please. I'd like for all the bus workers to stand to their feet. I'd like for all the bus workers to stand to their feet. I want to thank you, folks. I love everybody in this room, but I want to say thank you. We're emphasizing the bus ministry today, and I want to say thank you. And these are folks that ought to be lifted up in prayer and ought to be thanked, amen. They ought to be recognized. And God will bless a church that loves people. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. And I want to say thank you. Thank you very much. And God bless you. You can be seated. Aren't we blessed to have folks that love people in this way and serve in this aspect of the ministry? I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for you. I'm thankful, as verse 5 says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word, the truth of the gospel. I give thanks to God for you. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the hope that you now have. We have among us some folks that have been saved for many, many years. There's folks in this room that have been saved longer than I've been alive. And that's getting harder and harder to do now. But there's some that are just brand new in the Lord. And to all of us that are God's children, I'm thankful for the hope that you now have. I'm thankful for the hope that you now have. As my brother up here, I'm excited about what God's doing in his life. But anyway, Jesus told me yesterday, we are out again. He said, it's like a whole new level of joy, Pastor. It's like a whole new level of joy. And can I say this, my dear friend, the more that you live for Christ and the more surrendered you become to him, the more hope you'll have, the more joy you'll have. And I'm thankful for the hope you have. People that don't know Christ, people that aren't living for Christ, they're missing it. There's no hope without Christ. There's no hope in this life. There's no hope after this life without Christ. There's no bigger job than we have, that we have, dear church family, and that is to bring hope to a hopeless world. To bring hope to souls that are lost. And oh, what a wonderful thing to see that God has saved you. And oh, I give thanks. I give thanks for you. I give thanks for the hope that you now have. You've come. Many of you have come. And when you came, you weren't established in your faith, or you weren't saved. We were talking about it at the dinner table today a little bit. Talking about one of the families that are sitting here. We're talking about, I won't embarrass them or call them out or anything, but they're on the front row right here. But we were talking and we were bragging on Brother Calvin and Miss Brittany. Well, mostly Brother Calvin. But anyway, we were bragging on Brother Calvin and Miss Brittany, and I was thinking about how good God was and how he brought them here in adversity. And how they just, they were teachable. And God worked on their heart. Both of them got saved. Amen. Figured out salvation by grace through faith alone. Amen. It's not part of it. It's all of it. Amen. Salvation by grace through faith. And I'm so thankful for the hope they have. I'm thankful for the grace of God. It's mentioned in verse number 6. He mentions the grace of God in truth. The grace of God that you are experiencing. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the grace of God. Spotted across this room are many, many with heavy hearts. Many that have been born grief and born sorrow and trial and loss and death has come to your family and to your extended family. But I've watched the grace of God in your life and hardship and trial and life not easy. And yet you're going on for Christ. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful to see the grace of God in your life. And may I say this, when the time comes for you and your heartache and your trial and your sorrow, and when death visits your family, God's grace will be sufficient for you as well. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I want to brag on you too. That's what Paul did here in verse number 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. He said, I want to brag on you. Paul hadn't been to Colossae yet. Paul hadn't been there yet. But he'd heard about what God was doing in the hearts and lives of these people. And he says, you know, we've heard about this. We've heard about your faith. And I want to say this. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for the display of faith and confidence in God's word and in Christian living and in stewardship and in sacrifice. I'm so humbled by this record right here that just a handful of weeks ago, 29 folks in this congregation would say, you know, I've never tithed before, but by God's grace, I'm going to start tithing. Let us not forget to pray for these folks. Amen. I commend you for taking that step of faith. I don't know who you are. God knows who you are. No doubt numbers of you are here tonight. But may I say, I commend you for that. I don't want to brag on you for that. Listen, many, many, many folks know how hard that was, the very first time to take that step of faith. And many of you have taken that step of faith. And can I say, God, who's been faithful to those who've been giving and been good stewards for years, He'll be faithful to you as well. Amen. By the way, I'm already hearing it. Folks coming up to me individually and say, Pastor, you won't believe this, but, and telling me how God is honoring your faith. I'm so proud of that. 38 renewed, then 107 continue. I'm going to keep on. I've been faithful by God's grace, and by His grace, I'm going to continue by faith. Committing, making a sacrificial commitment to help us get that chapel remodeled and give a beautiful place for our Spanish congregation to meet and for the school chapel to be used 6 days a week for the glory of God. Thank you for that. I want to brag on you. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for following. Thank you for believing. God, thank you for being good stewards. Thank you for the souls that you reach. The love that you have. He mentions love here in verse number 4. Last week we had 160 soul winners out on the street last week. That's incredible. That's incredible. Church family, that's unbelievable. But 160 times somebody was out. And I know there's others. Many of you witness on your own. Some of you go on your own time. That's just the ones that have a record of and came to a meeting they were there. But many of you go on your own time. And I don't know how many total, but I know at least 160 folks were out last week. And I got news for you. God can't help but bless that. Amen. God blesses obedience. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to be a part. And I want to praise the Lord. I'm thankful for you. And I want to commend you for your love. And for all of the saints, the Bible said. You know, all God's people. I'm so thankful for a church that loves people. I told you this story before, but it's been quite a few years ago. And I was in my office and got a call from a social worker. And they said, we have a family just moved here. They had come from another state. And they settled here. And they were the social worker. The social worker said, I told them about your church, and they would like to come. And I was just wondering if maybe somebody could work it out where they could be able to come to your church. I said, absolutely. And so I took the name down. Evidently, the folks were sitting there in the office with the social worker at the time. And I took the names down, took the address down, and so forth. And they did come. And I don't know if I should have done it or not, but before we hung up the phone, I said, well, ma'am, let me invite you to come as well. We'd love to have you come too. Thank you so much for recommending this family to us, and we'd love for you to come too. She said, I have a good church to go to. And I probably shouldn't have done it, but I did. I said, well, ma'am, I'm curious. How come you didn't call your pastor and tell him about this family? And she hesitated for just a moment. She said, well, I just felt like they'd fit in at your church. And I said, I'm sure that they will. I'm sure that they will. Amen. Man, sight unseen. I'm sure they will. Hey, that's what a church ought to be. Hey, a church is not a social club. A church is a place that loves people. And so I'm thankful for you. And I want to brag on you for your faith, your faithfulness, your love for people. But as I read these verses, I guess a couple weeks ago now, something burned in my heart. And I want to just say this, what Paul wrote, here's what I want for you. Would you look with me in verse number 9 again? For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I want to say this. I want to say this. You say, Pastor, what do you want for us? I want you to be in the will of God. I want you to be in the will of God. I want you to die to your own will and be where God wants you to be and be in the will of God. That's what I want for you. I was so thrilled. I looked at this today and printed it off. And this is not all of them, but I guess there's probably 25 or more young people listed here on this list just from the most recent youth meeting that we had. And here's a young lady says, I want to be different. Right, kind of different. Here's another one, a young man said, I want to be a leader. I want to help my friends. Another young lady, I want to be the right kind of friend. I want to work on my anger. Here's a young man, I want to have a better walk with God. Here's a young lady, I want to stand for Christ in my school and have a better walk with the Lord. I want to grow in my relationship with Christ and my family. Here's a young man, I want to give my all to God and do no less than my best at church and at school. Here's a young lady, I want to be an example to my younger siblings. Here's a young lady, I'm going to surrender my life to serve the Lord. I'm going to Bible college. God's called me, I'm going. Here's a young lady said, I want to dress like a lady. I want to lose my bad friends and not be a follower of the wrong crowd. Here's another young lady said, I want to be a better example. I want to be kind. A young man who says, I need a better walk with God. A young man who said, I want God's will instead of mine. And can I say to you, church family, tonight, that's what I want for you. I want God's will for you and not your own. Listen, we can pursue our own desires. We can pursue our own will, but we'll never, ever be happy. We'll never be content. We'll never abide satisfied, as the Bible says that we can. If we're pursuing our own desires in life, life is so short and eternity is so long. Why would we want to do anything else with our life except live wholeheartedly for God and in His precious will? Here's a young lady, I want to be a better example at work. Another, I want to surrender to Christ and lose my bitterness. That'd be a good decision for some big people too, amen. I want to honor my father, a young lady said. Here's a young lady, the standards that I have, I want to make them my own. And you won't live them for a lifetime until Bible standards become your own standards. I want to find my satisfaction in pleasing God. Here's another young lady. I want to keep the standards my parents have given me, and I want to make them my own. Bible standards, I want to make them my own. I want to be faithful in the next stage of my life. I want to be a better example to my younger siblings. I want to stop rejecting God's will for me, one says. I want God's will over my own will, another says. Another, I want to stay faithful beyond graduation. Another, I want to give my life to God, stop following and start leading. Another, I want to serve God no matter what. Another, God's called me to be a missionary and I want to follow that call. Another, I want to live my life for God, have a better relationship with my dad and my family. Can I say this? Listen, that's what I want for all the moms and dads. You know, sometimes I think we need to load up a bus and take all the moms and dads to a youth conference.
Amen.
To a parent conference. Amen. Now, mom and dad, listen to me. Hey, listen, let's all get on board at the same time. One of the things that's broken my heart as a pastor over the years is to watch children who want to do right when their parents were cold and the kids were hot, and then time goes by and the parents get hot and the kids get cold, and by the time the parents get hot for Christ, the kid's cold and the parent has a broken heart and they say, why didn't I get hot for Christ when my kids were hot for Christ? God doesn't want us lukewarm. He wants us all in. He said, I'd rather be cold or hot, not lukewarm. It makes me want to puke, God said. I want to spew you out of my mouth. Oh, I tell you what I want for you. I want you to know the will of God. He said it this way in that verse, in verse number 9, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I want you to know the will of God. I want you to see the wisdom of living out God's will, God's plan, God's desires for your life. I want you to understand the spiritual importance of it. Listen, for the spiritual health of your life, of your loved ones, it is important that we be in the will of God. It is vital that you and I surrender and say, as Jesus said in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. That's what I desire for you. I'll tell you something else. Verse number 10, he said this, that ye might walk worthy. These are the things Paul said, I'm praying these things for you. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Can I just say this, my dear? How many of you say, I am a born-again Christian? Say amen.
Amen.
We ought to walk like that then. Amen. I like to read John Wooden, of course, was a famous coach, excuse me, of the UCLA Bruins, and led him to several national titles. And one of his most famous players was Bill Walton. And, of course, he went on to play professionally. And for 3 years in a row, Bill Walton was the player of the year in college under Coach Wooden's leadership. And John Wooden, he was a meticulously organized. And if you played on UCLA and you played for John Wooden, you did things his way, the way he wanted it done. And he said, hey, this is who we are. This is what we do. And so he had a rule. He had a rule that no facial hair for his players. He had one rule. I'll tell you this story first, and I'll get back to that story. He had a rule, no short hair. Now, this is the 60s and 70s when the floppy hippie hair was in vogue and in style. And he had to be off your ears and off your collar. And he had to have short hair. And a top pick came to the college, got recruited to play. And he came on with his floppy hair. And he was so good. Considered one of the top players of that year. And he was so good, everybody wanted him, but he went and played to play for John Wooden and showed up for his first practice. And coach said, there's some rules. He said, this is the rules, this and that. And he said, no, you have to have short hair, you can't have long hair. And they said, we'll come to practice tomorrow, everybody's going to have their hair cut. And no facial hair. Well, the next day, the young man, top recruit, showed up with his long hair. And Coach Wooden, he came out on the court, he said, what are you doing here? He said, what am I doing here? He said, I'm here for practice. He said, no, you're not. You're not ready for practice. He said, what are you talking about? He said, I told you yesterday. I told you what we do and don't do. He said, get off my court. He said, what do you mean? He said, I told you, you make the decision if you want to play for me or not. He said, you're telling me that you're not going to let me play ball because I won't get my hair cut? He said, I'm telling you that if you don't have your hair cut in the next 10 minutes, you're off this team. That boy jumped on a bicycle, ran down in a barbershop, grabbed a thing, shaved his head, and pedaled back as fast as he could. And he played ball for Coach Wooden. Amen. Bill Walton, the three-time player of the year, had about a 10-day break. And he came in with a beard, full beard. And he had a reason, by the way. He had a reason for the hair. He said, look, I don't want you. First of all, he said, if you got long hair, it's going to get wet. When you sweat and you're going to go out in the cold, you get sick. And you'll lose playing time because you get sick. The other thing is, I don't want your hair flopping around and you not be able to see things. So keep your hair clean. Keep your head clean. And that was his reason behind it. Somebody said, well, can we have a mustache? That won't block our view. He said, have your mustache, then you're going to want this and that. And he said, I don't want to babysit your facial hair, so no facial hair. That makes it easier for me. Well, Bill Walton came in after a 10-day break, and he came in with a full beard. And Coach Wooden walked up to him and said, Bill, have you forgotten something? And he said, Coach, he said, listen, I know what you're going to say, but I just think I have a right to have a beard, and I like my beard, and I want to keep my beard, and I think I have a right to have a beard. And Coach Wooden said, Bill, you really believe that real strongly? He said, yes, sir, I believe it strongly. He said, you know, I respect anybody who stands up for what they really believe in, and I commend you for that, and we're going to miss you on the team. And he went to the locker and shaved. Amen. Now, here's what I'm saying. Listen, that's a basketball game. That's a coach. That's a little ball, you pigskin, and you put air in it, and you bounce it up and down, and you run down the court, and you put it in a little hoop there, and everybody goes, yah, 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 re, re, rah, 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 re, re. And some are doing that more than others right now. But anyway, rah, 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 re, re, re. Okay, it's a wonderful thing. Maybe it's a pastime. Yes, a way to get healthy or something. But let me teach you, that it's not a big deal in eternity. It's not a big deal. Listen, we don't remember 7 years ago who won what. And let me tell you something, what I'm saying, here's a man, by the way, he's a principled man. Coach Wooden was a principled man and a man of character. And it was bigger than just a game to him. He was investing in those young men. And that's fascinating leadership skills. But anyway, but there was something about him. He said, this, what we're doing is more than what you think it is. And you need to walk worthy of being a UCLA Bruin. Now listen, if a coach could say to his players, you walk worthy of being a UCLA Bruin, then God's people ought not buck against the scripture when God says through his precious word, my prayer for you is that you walk worthy as a Christian. That the world be able to look at you and say, there's something different about those folks. And I can promise you this, that lady today at that restaurant who said to me, do y'all have a place for teenagers? I can promise you, I didn't ask her this, but I guarantee I can promise it. I'll tell you why. Because she's been watching some teenage girls. And everybody knows how perfect my children are. No, they're not perfect, but I guarantee they have a Christian testimony. I'm thankful for that. And I believe that mama said, you know what? My kids need something like that. How many times have we been somewhere and someone walked up to us in a restaurant or at a gas station somewhere, at a rest area somewhere, and said, where are y'all from? And I haven't seen a group of kids like this before in a long time. Man walked up to me in an old country buffet years ago and had about 14 teenage boys there at the restaurant. And he walked over. He said, I was a school teacher. He said, I'm retired. He said, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I'm retired. And he said, I didn't even know there was young men like this. I've been watching y'all. I see the way they're dressed. See the way they talk. I see the way they behave. He said, I didn't even know there were young people like this. Let me tell you something, my dear friend. You and I are children of the King. You and I are washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. You and I are His children. You and I are called of Him. And we ought to walk worthy in identification with the name Christian. A Christian is someone who is like Christ. Christian was not taken up by God's people. The name title Christian in Acts chapter 11 was given to us by the unsaved world. And an unsaved world ought to look at us and say, you handle yourself differently. You walk differently. You treat people differently. You talk differently. You carry yourselves differently. And they ought to know there's something different about you and I. Listen, this idea of churches trying to look cool and trying to look like the world and taking in the world's look and taking in the world's music. No, sir. Walk worthy. Walk worthy. That's what I desire. That's what I desire for God's people, that we might walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing. Look at that, verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Is there something inside of you that says tonight, I want to please God in everything I do? I want to please God in everything I do, in what I read, in what I look at, in what I listen to, and where I go, and the way I behave myself. I want to please the Lord. Hebrews 11:5 says of Enoch that he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Wouldn't that be a wonderful testimony to have tonight? That he pleased God. And so my desire is that you'd know the will of God. Number two, that you would walk worthy of the Lord. What do I want for you? Number three, look at verse 10 again. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. I want you to be fruitful in every good work. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. While the ladies were singing that, it was a beautiful song, wasn't it? Mr. Busman, I like it. I'm ready to hear it again. But you know what I want for you? I want you to be up in heaven one day. And someone come running up to you. And the Bible said this, then shall we know even as also we are known. Most people in Ashbury know this man right here as Bro Ham. Bro Ham. I can't help but think, then shall we know even as also we are known. I can't help but think that somebody, one day, you'll hear, Broham! Broham! I can't help but think that. I can't help but think that there'll be people that'll find us in heaven, like the Mr. Busman. Hey, Mr. Busman. And you know what I want for you? I want for you to walk the streets of heaven one day, and someone come, say, hey, Brother Kevin. Hey, Brother Rodney. Hey, Brother Kevin. Hey, Brother Spencer. Hey, remember me? Hey, bus worker. You remember me? Won't that be wonderful? Don't you want to lay up some treasure in heaven? Don't you want to live a fruitful life? I'll tell you what I want for you. I'll tell you what I want for you. Look at it. Verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. And here it is, number 4. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. I'm so thankful some of you folks have made commitments to Christ. My heart was encouraged, Brother Steve. You and Miss Rebecca are so dear to me, so precious to me. They came and rededicated their life last Sunday night. Man, he's been here longer than I've been here. They've won souls. They've served just about every capacity. Bus ministry, Sunday school, just about every capacity you could think of in this church. But last Sunday night, they came and said, we want to rededicate our lives to Christ. You know what they were saying? We want to grow. We want to increase. Amen. And I don't know about you, but listen, I don't want to go backwards. I want to go forward. Amen. I don't want to backslide. I want to go forward. I want to increase. And can I tell you something? The Christian life, it's one of two things. It's either go forward or go backwards. You will not stay static in your Christian life. You will not stay in one spot in your Christian life for very long. You're either growing or you're dying. You're either going forward or you're going backward. You're either growing in grace or you're backsliding. And everybody in this room tonight is either getting closer to God or you're getting further away from God. You say, Pastor, what I want for you. Listen, there's no measure. Let me help you with something. There's no measuring stick. There's no measuring stick. Got your haircut. Okay. Oh, okay. You're finally there. Now you're, no. He said, what do you want for us? I just want you to grow. I don't want you to go backwards. I want you to grow. I want you to go forward for Christ. I want you to increase. I want us to be moving forward. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. I want to be doing that when the trumpet sounds. I don't want to do less for Christ. The Bible says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, the manner of some is, but considering one another and not forsaking the assembling of yourselves, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, listen, my dear friend. We don't need to be less church and less preaching. We need more preaching and more church, and we don't need less service. We need more service. The time is short. Christ is coming. And then lastly, he said this in verse number 11. What I want for you, to know the will of God, to walk worthy of the Lord, to be fruitful, to increase. And then lastly, verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You know what patience is? Patience is cheerful endurance. Here's what he's saying. I'm praying that God would give you the strength and give you the power to endure. Long suffering, to put up with things, to put up with the hard times, and to do it with joyfulness. Let me summarize it. You know what I want for you? I want you to finish well. I want you to finish well. A dear man sat in the service this morning, and I texted him this afternoon. I said, man, I wanted to leave the platform, and I wanted to run and duck your neck. A man that's been a choice servant of God and won souls to Christ, and the desire is still there. But you know what I want for that man? The same thing I want for you. I want him to finish well. So you got down. Oh, get back up. So you got bitter. Get right. So you listen to gossip. Clean your brain out. Clean your ears out. And get your confidence in God and his people and his work again. Change your friends if you have to. But get back and busy for the Lord. And finish well. Finish well. I don't know about you. I don't want to wash out. No, sir. I want to be busy for the Lord. You know, it'd be all right with me if the trumpets sound while we're having church. Amen. I like to be just about like this. Amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Be in church when the trumpet sounds. That's what I want you to finish well. Let's stand together, Father.